Our next presenter is a co-investigator, again, with Ms. Anatoly Catherine. Rachel Gart is also an honors student at Rutgers University School of Nursing, anticipating graduating in this coming May, and has an interest in also at-risk youth. And her presentation today is on the mental health behaviors, particularly what are the factors that influence adolescent ideation around suicide. Rachel, happy to have you.
Hi, how is everybody? I'm Rachel, and today I'm going to be talking about suicide and what the factors are that influence adolescence ideation. Okay. So when looking at the adolescent population, suicide ends up being only the third leading cause of death, next to accidents and homicide. So due to this statistic, it's safe to say that suicide needs to be thoroughly researched in relation to the adolescent community. One of the best ways to proactively look at the relation between adolescence and suicide is to investigate some things that put adolescents at risk for considering or attempting. Some of the most common of these risk factors is illegal substance abuse, which includes ethanol, and mental health disorders. Oops, what did that do? Okay. So these are some of the most dangerous subgroups that fall under the risk factors. Again, since we're looking at the adolescent population, which ranges from ages 12 to 19, we need to consider ethanol an illegal substance. These were some of the most common mental health disorders found in the literature, with depression and cannabis abuse being variables in our study. So when reviewing the literature, illegal substance abuse was a consistent contributing factor to either adolescence completion, attempt of suicide, and suicidal ideation. In one of the studies conducted by Garlow, 69 suicide victims were examined to see if any illegal substances, specifically cocaine and ethanol, were in their systems after suicide. Ultimately, cocaine and ethanol use preceding completion of suicide was prevalent in both African-American and Caucasian adolescents. However, illegal substance abuse was more prominent in the Caucasian population. Looking at other studies, girls drinking at an earlier age predicted depressive symptoms, which in turn can lead to suicidal ideation. For boys, the onset of hard drug use was the most consistent predictor of all suicidal risk factors. So in regards to mental health when reviewing the literature, the overreaching conclusion was that what we found was that having a psychiatric disorder was more likely to be found in suicide victims and youth who exhibited suicidal behavior. Conversely, it was found in the literature that higher SSRI prescription rates in teens with psychiatric disorders greatly reduced suicide rates in these teens when compared to teens who were not prescribed SSRIs. So that's something to keep in mind. Okay. So as seen in the previous presentation, the YRBS is a national, state, and local survey. It monitors priority health risk behaviors that contribute to death, injury, and social problems. So these are the six core behaviors that the YRBS looks at. For our study, we focused mainly on behaviors that contribute to unintentional injuries and violence, and alcohol and other drug use. Okay. So the goal of this investigation was to identify the risk factors that make adolescents more susceptible to suicidal ideation and behavior. Out of the 97 questions of the YRBS, we focused on 9 questions relating to depression, suicide, and illegal substance abuse. For depression, we used the same question that Catherine used, which was, during the past 12 months, did you ever feel so sad or hopeless almost every day for 2 weeks or more in a row that you stopped doing some usual activities? For suicide, the 3 questions separately encompassed, have you ever considered, attempted, or injured yourself from a suicide attempt within the past 12 months? And the five questions that we used for illegal substances was, have you drank, used marijuana, cocaine, or a prescription drug without a prescription within the past 30 days? Those were all separate questions. Okay. So for our study, we did a secondary analysis of the YRBS. We ran correlations and multiple regressions during our secondary analysis to analyze the data. And our results. So as seen in the previous presentation, this is just a table that shows you a more detailed view of the sample that participated in the 2011 YRBS. Okay, so for our frequencies. So a majority of boys and girls report that they were not depressed. This is also true for considering suicide within the past 12 months and being injured from an attempt within the past 12 months. Although a majority reported no attempts, 11% of girls and about 7% of boys reported attempting suicide at least once within the last year, which is still a high percentage when you consider that we're looking at suicide attempts. Okay. So, a majority of girls and boys have abstained from drinking, and a small percentage of students reported using marijuana, cocaine, and prescription drugs without a prescription at least once. Okay. Now for our correlations, you can see that all of the variables were statistically significant. However, five variables were moderately correlated as compared to the others, and those are in red. Now, since I'll be talking about this in my discussion, I just would like to point out that all of the illegal substances, while statistically significant, were weakly correlated. Okay. So now this is our regression for considering suicide. And as you can see, all of the variables were significant predictors of considering suicide except marijuana when inputted into the same model. This is our regression for attempted suicide, and all of the variables were significant predictors of attempting suicide when inputted into the same model. Now, for both of these, just want to keep in mind that since our R-squared is so low, we don't know if the relationship is a true relationship or if it occurs by chance. Okay. So when looking at risk-taking behaviors, a majority of youth were not depressed, had not considered or attempted suicide, and only a small amount had actually consumed alcohol, used marijuana, cocaine, and prescription drugs without a prescription. Now, since the YRBS is self-reported, we need to take into consideration bias that occurs when these respondents are answering questions. There's always a risk that they either underreported or overreported their behavior, which can manipulate the final data set and may not paint a clear picture of true illegal substance use or suicidal ideation. Okay. So our study adds support to other research that also examine these variables. These correlations match up with what one would think when relating these factors. What I mean by this is, it makes sense that depression seems to have an association with suicidal behavior, and that youth who consider suicide also attempt suicide. Additionally, it definitely makes sense that there's a strong relationship between attempting suicide and injuring oneself. When looking at our correlations, although drug use was statistically significant, it was weakly correlated to suicidal behavior. When looking at this, it could be thought that if a person is using drugs, that they are self-medicating and may not consider suicide. However, if a person is not using illegal substances as a coping mechanism, they may be more vulnerable to suicidal behavior, which may explain the weak correlation. So we found that depressed youth who also use recreational drugs and drink have a higher rate of suicidal thoughts. Risk-taking behaviors also seems to predict attempting suicide. Our findings add support to the literature. For example, Chow stated that girls drinking at an early age and being drunk predicted depressive symptoms, which interestingly parallels our findings that when youth are depressed, they also use illegal substances, which leads to a higher rate of suicidal thoughts. When looking back at our regression, marijuana use did not predict considering suicide. However, it was predictive of attempting suicide. When logically thinking about this, if someone attempts suicide, they considered suicide. So we don't really know if marijuana use was accurately depicted, or maybe it was skewed by our large sample size. So just thought that was interesting. Oops, I keep doing that. Okay. So what can public health nurses do? Well, it helps nurses better identify youth who are actually at risk for suicidal behavior. If an adolescent patient also has drugs in their system, it could be a red flag to emotional instability, which can be correlated to suicidal thoughts. We also need to be able to educate parents, teachers, and youth themselves about what factors put them at a greater risk for suicidal ideation and behavior. Conversely, we can also educate this population about actual mental health services, since a young person at risk for suicide needs professional help to combat this risk. Lastly, it's important to develop community-based programs aimed at educating adolescents, parents, teachers, and other role models about risky behavior and what they can do to counteract this. I think it's very important to have community-based programs that are targeted at youth, because if they don't have a role model in their lives who's truly taking note of their risky behavior, they possibly have a chance to help themselves. So our limitations. Again, all YRBS data are self-reported, and the extent of underreporting or overreporting of behaviors cannot be determined. For our secondary analysis, our limitations were related to the fact that we could not manipulate the questions we were using. This in turn made our data solely dependent on how the YRBS decided to ask questions on suicide, mental health, and illegal substance abuse. Responses to every question was not 100%, which does not give us a full scope of the data. And one of our biggest limitations was the large sample size. Because of the large sample size, we cannot truly know if the data was really significant or if the significant factors were just by chance. Does anyone have any questions?